Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Beautiful music coming there from Cullen Maluleke featuring Sicelo Moya. Arise and shine. The glory of the Lord is upon you. What a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday it is. And the time now is exactly 7 minutes just after 10 on 657 AM on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. I'm excited. I have got two medical specialists with me today. What an honor. What an honor. Dr. Tlelan, should we greet Ntate Pasape Pili?
Yeah, sure. He's in the line.
He's on the line.
Oh, yes. Bravo, see, how are you? Are you there?
Good evening, Dr. Tyler. How are you? Thank you so much for asking to have me back on the studio.
I'm good.
Long time, of course, but I'm so excited also to be here.
Yeah. And we didn't even have time to like really converse. Are we on speaker with Brababi this side? Ntatesabe?
Hello?
Are we on speaker? Are we on your headphones?
Yeah, you're on my headset.
Can you take them off? I need you on your handset.
Okay.
You talk like you are in a hole. Askisi.
Okay. All right.
All righty then. So family, Dr. Tlelani, how are you? Before I say I talk to the family, how are you?
I'm good. And greetings to the family out there. I hope I'm coming out loud and clear because my voice is not so good and I'm just recovering from an influenza, terrible one.
Hey.
We spoke about it. And
yes.
Then it just came to me.
No. I think next time, before we talk about something, we need to pray first. Take a moment and pray for ourselves. Cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Because, we're not nobu. Yeah. Gwen, you are the culprit.
Yeah.
And they chase after you. So, but thank you so much for coming through. Ntatesabe, hello to you again.
Am I better now?
Still a little bit in a hole, but much better. As long as we are not on speaker, or on your headphones, I think we can continue. Welcome back, Ntatesabe. It's been a while since we've spoken to you, Dr. Tlelani. And today we are talking bacterial vaginosis, yeast infections. And I opened the lines for family members going through perimenopausal stages or who are menopausing, who are experiencing some challenges there and there. And even those ones who are at their childbearing age, no perimenopausing or anything, they are experiencing their periods. I said they can ask anything today, and we will help them as much as we can. Dr. Tlelani, our gynecologist, is in the house, and our dietitian is in the house, and Ntatevusisape. So let's start, Ntatesape. I'm coming to you. Let me ask Dr. Tlelani first. What is bacterial vaginosis, and how does it differ with yeast infection?
Thank you for the question. Bacterial vaginosis, basically, it's that the imbalance of the vaginal bacteria within the vaginal environment. Mm. There is going to be an imbalance of the microbiome. Remember that we've got the microbiome, which are good bacteria.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we usually find them in the vagina, and also in the gut.
Mm.
Now, if those microbiomes, which are the good bacteria, are disturbed in one or other way, then you are going to acquire a bacterial infection, which is more pathologic than them.
Yeah.
So the key thing is that there's going to be an imbalance, especially the acidity of the vagina, which compromises the microbiome, which are protecting the vaginal mucosa.
Okay. So that is about Dr. Tlelani is talking about the microbiomes.
Yeah.
And I'm asking myself, what can encourage, what do we need when it comes to food? What do we need to encourage good bacteria in our bodies, especially the vaginal area? Oh, that disappear got cut off there. So Okay, and but both of them, Dr. Telani, whilst I'm still trying to get hold of Ntate Sapi,
yes,
both of them, they are disturbing the pH balance, the acidity of the vagina.
The vagina, that's right.
Right.
Yes.
So what's the difference? Because this is yeast, this is bacterial vaginosis. So, and yeast, we know it's candida, and they both present almost the same, not 100%. So, but now let's talk about the difference between the two.
Okay, look at the bacteria, are bacteria.
Oh, okay.
And the yeast are fungi. And then this bacteria, the microbiome, which are supposed to be protecting the vagina, needs at least the pH of about 3.8 to 4.5 in the vagina. And if there's going to be a deviation from that level of acidity, then that's when you're going to get the pathologic changes in the vagina, giving you this bacterial vaginosis. Now, bacterial vaginosis is when the vagina is infiltrated by the pathogenic organisms like the Gardnerella vaginalis and other bacterial infections like Bordetella or, you know, any other UTI bacteria will attack the vagina just because of that acidity has been changed.
Acidity has been changed, and so it will attack. And then the person will show up with which signs?
No, show signs of vaginosis, which will be an unusual vaginal discharge, you know. Thin, white, grey and greenish discharge with a strong, fishy sort of an odor. Mm. Vaginal itchiness, paining, and then irritation, you know, sensation in the vagina or vulva, abdominal vaginal bleeding, spotting or bleeding between periods, you know. You'll just go into periods, you know, not expecting them.
Okay.
And then there's going to be that foul odor, a strong, unpleasant odor, often compared to fish. You can even feel very uncomfortable when you're in the public or you're with close proximity.
Do other people smell it?
Well, I'm not sure, but there are people who say they can smell it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But you feel it when.
Yeah.
In yourself, you feel or not, something is wrong. And then you have to make a plan that you think maybe people are smelling it, but I don't think so. But
but I've heard of men suspecting their wives and like, because of that fishy smell. Because it's like a rotting fish, right? Not just fishy. It's good, I guess, if it's just fishy, but now it's like a rotting
fish.
Kind of...
No, okay, fine, you can, but, you know, being in a situation, you know, where you are well-dressed and then you have washed and then you put some perfume...
Cologne, Mara, hey!
I don't think it will, you know, trickle out so easily.
Okay.
You, the person who's suffering from it, you smell it.
You smell yourself through your clothes.
Yeah.
And then, but with yeast infection, there's no smell, right? With the discharge, or is there smell?
No, there is, but not as offensive as a bacterial vaginosis.
Is it that one that smells like vinegar?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, and then remember, the yeast, it's always there.
Oh, we always have it.
Yeah, we always have it, but it's also not, you know, destructive as the other bacteria, which will come immediately the acidity is changed.
Okay. Now, Ntate Vusi, before you got cut off, I was asking about things that can encourage good bacteria in our bodies. But let me ask about the food that we eat now. As a dietitian, do you think the kind of food that we eat is still medicinal and it can still combat issues in our lives? It can still help us to build immunity.
Yes, thank you so much, Oswangile, for actually coming with that question. I think if we have to look at in terms of, it depends on the type of food items that we actually have on daily basis. I'm like talking about a balanced diet would be a very key factor in this instance. But however, a lot of people, they start to consume a lot of unprocessed foods,
or processed food, sorry, that are a lot containing a lot of like unwanted, you know, food substances like your fats, high fat intakes, and you know that can contribute to an imbalanced diet, and eventually one person can be able to be affected, you know. So, but if we strike for, you know, based on organic foods, I know that they're quite expensive, but mm-hmm. at the same time, if we strive for a balanced diet, I don't think we'll be having any, you know,
issues.
Challenges a lot in terms of our imbalances in our body, you know.
So
coming specific to this same topic that we are on now today, bacterial vaginosis, when I looked at into research, and I've looked into deep into research in terms of nutrition, how it can actually play a pivotal role in it. So there are actually like key nutrients that are there that can actually help lower the risk of one, you know, contracting maybe getting that balance between the bacteria in the vaginal wall, you know. So the key nutrients that we came up, folate, vitamin E, and calcium, they say they play a very, very important role in making sure that we are actually at lower risk of getting the BV, you know.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so I love how you and Dr. Dylan are talking, like we. And Nunali Majens.
We try to be fully involved, you know.
I love that.
On a daily basis, we are trying to get some literature, you know, around to assist our community.
I love that. What causes the imbalances, Dr. Tleilani, most of the times? Is it us, the way we... Some women talk about douching, and they believe that is, like, good. And some women would even sit on top of, like, a steaming hot pot of water with some elements in their water, like some flowers, I don't know. And they want to make their VJJ smell like flowers. And they want to be healthy. So they'll be told the steam was going to clean you. I don't know. Do we need to clean our wombs and our vagina canals and all that? Our vulvas and all that?
Well, I don't think really douching is a very good idea, because it disrupts the natural balance of the vaginal bacteria, which will increase the risk of BV. So douching, you know, it's out. I don't encourage it. I think maybe you could just use, if you feel you want just to clean to satisfy yourself, just use plain water.
And then warm water, right?
Yeah, warm water. And then the imbalance of the vaginal bacteria can also be caused by this overzealous eating or taking of antibiotics. You know, people, for every little thing, they just want
antibiotics,
and then they don't realize that, you know, taking antibiotics when you don't have an infection will predispose to resistance. And then at a later stage, when the bacteria elongor is going to cause the infection itself comes, then it's going to resist the antibiotic that you've always been taking. So one of the things that we should really be avoiding is to take unnecessarily antibiotics, because they disturb this vaginal bacteria, leading to BV2. And then we've got the pregnancy. Pregnancy states, we know that a pregnant woman is more estrogenic than testosteronic, meaning it's got more estrogen, and then that will form a nidus in the vagina for this bacteria, you know, pathological bacteria to proliferate in the vagina. So, but that you can always be checking with your doctor, so that it gives you medication.
Medication, yeah.
But after, of course, having done some tests and having sent the specimen to the laboratory. Now, one sensitive thing, but you know, we have to mention it, multiple sex partners. You know, having multiple sex partners will predispose you to bacterial vaginosis. Yeah,
but it's also a common thing that's happening within the childbearing ages as well. But now that can also predispose you. to that.
To this, yeah.
You find right. you normally wouldn't even have that, but now because of that, then you are at risk.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And also, you know, I don't know, when we talk about sexual activity, you know, women who are more sexually active are prone to this vaginal.
Why?
We don't know. But one thing I can say is BV is not a sexually transmitted infection.
Okay.
So it is there, but even if you are hyperactive sexually, predisposing you to BV, it's not necessarily a sexually transmitted disease. So those are some of the things that will predispose you, or they are just predisposing risk factors to acquire this BV.
All right. Yeah. Dr. Sape, you are Dr. Sape. You have to be Dr. Sape. Naki Fedize, Dr. Sape.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've heard of something called the apple cider vinegar, that mm-hmm. it would help to balance one's pH. Number one, if you take it orally and if you bath with it. From a dietitian's perspective?
Okay, I wouldn't say it's 100% recommended to do that, taking apple cider orally throughout to balance the pH levels. I think maybe what I can do, Osprey, is to unpack what I meant by balanced diet, and actually also including all those key nutrients that I talked about.
Let's do that.
So that one can just understand the role what nutrition plays. Because sometimes, if you look at it in the direction of apple cider alone, it might not be sufficient. So if we have to look at, like I talked about, the key nutrients like your folate, your vitamin E, and your calcium. So where do we actually get more of your folate? And what is folate? Folate is one of the micronutrients that are quite important in providing us with the boosting of the immune system and also balancing that, the microflora or even the pubiflora that we can, be of benefit at this point in time. So when we're looking at the folate, we actually get it from your greeny leafy vegetables.
Okay.
So it is very important for one to actually include that as part of their diet, including your spinach, your kale. Kale is one of the most, vegetable that I've recently discovered now that it's very, very rich in a lot of nutrients.
Am I getting it clear?
Asparagus as well, and Brussels sprouts.
Are you saying kale? Kale, the one that looks...
Yes,
okay,
all right. K-A-L-E, yes.
Yeah, that smells like cabbage and broccoli.
Yeah, that smells like broccoli, cabbage. Yeah. It's more like, it tastes very good. It tastes more like your spinach. Maybe you have tasted China spinach before, maybe.
Yes, yeah, but the smell, nice. But the smell.
Nice. Yeah, it's quite nice, so you're going to love it. It's
okay.
Quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can include that into our diets, then we know that you're sure that we're going to get enough of your folate and your fruits, like your citrus fruits like your oranges.
Yeah.
Also including your bananas, your strawberries, your papayas and avocados. They can also include a lot of folate, and you're sure of certain that I'm going to get adequate amount of, folate, including your nuts, your beans, the all ranges of beans into that in your diet. That could help a lot, and also getting into your vitamin E. Normally, the use of canola oil, the use of your olive oil, they're actually high in the density of vitamin E. Your almonds, your sunflower seeds, you can include that as part of your diet. And that's what actually I meant when I say let's try for a balanced diet and include this, food items into our diet. Calcium is all the milk and milk products, of course. It depends on where you are. You can be able to go maybe for a lactose-free if you are lactose intolerant, or otherwise balance in terms of milk and milk products, especially yogurt.
Mm.
It has a lot of probiotics that can actually, I think Dr. Lennon spoke about taking a lot of antibiotics. They can actually affect that, in terms of the balance of the flora. So it's quite important to use probiotics as well. You know, there's a lot of probiotics that are out there, but yogurt can give a lot of probiotics that could also help with the pH. Yeah, for that, that can help a lot.
How about pineapple? Women.
Pineapple.
Women are told
it's
to take.
It's part of the citrus. I think it will still play a pivotal role. Yeah.
All right, Dr. Leilani. Most women want to smell like flowers, like fruits, in their vaginal area. So they are encouraged to take your pineapples and to combat even the yeast or the BV. Some are encouraged to even insert the yogurt that Ndatisap is talking about. From a gynecological point of view?
Yeah, I'm not sure about having to instill yogurt in the vagina, but it has been documented that it helps a lot in balancing the
when you vaginas. Eat it.
Yeah, I think when you eat it, that's the thing. Because
when you eat it,
yeah, there are so many things that people try to use. In fact, I've seen
some. Now they're damaging.
No, you cause the inflammation around the vulva. You know, if there's going to be anything topical that they're going to use, you don't know if you're going to react to it or not. So what will happen usually is that you will get the irritation of the vulva and vagina, and then that will give you even some other pathology like eczema or, you know, dermatosis of a sort. More longer, you are now going to predispose yourself to a dermatological problem on top of what the vaginal problem, I mean, on top of the vaginal problem that you've got. So I think ingestion of some of these things are better than topically applying them onto the area.
Yes. Yeah. And that the survey is echoing it. Is it?
I'm fully concurring with Dr. Tlaila. And just maybe an additional, I've read recently on the study that I've read recently, they're talking about the role of cranberries, you know, with the urinary tract, you know, properties that it can help in prevention of bacterial growth in the urinary tract, because that can also contribute to that same problem that you're talking about now. So it would be nice if one can also include the cranberries as well. Cranberry juice, or as they are, you can buy them and probably include them on your cereals, like your your old brains, so, when you're eating, just, you know, a handful of cranberries will help as well.
So cranberries and pineapples are the ones that women are encouraged to consume lots and lots, like the juices thereof, even eating these in a way of also helping them to have a flowery smell and a fruity smell. Should we be smelling like fruits?
I don't know, really. It's just like the vagina's got its unique smell, you know, it's naturally just like that, you know. And then if you've got your partner, then you know the odor of the vaginal discharges, you know, you get used to that, you adapt. And then I don't know, I don't see any reason why it should really be, I don't know, really. I don't think I'm able to answer that. Let's stay away from some of these things, you know, because they're just introducing unnecessarily exogenous things which our body have to fight against. And then when it comes to cranberry, you know, I've got a problem with cranberry. If I can take cranberries, I'm telling you, I'm going to have a hell of a diarrhea.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know. My stomach just doesn't like it. I don't know by what mechanism. Maybe
Doctor, and that is we can say something about that, especially for those who would also have diarrhea from these, like your cranberries, and that is
okay. Okay, I missed it up because of
Doctor Tlaelani says Doctor Tlaelani is also
No.
He's
diarrhea.
Talking about some like him who would be reacting to cranberry. They would take cranberry and have a diarrhea. So what advice? Should they stay away from this and take something or what?
Look, we have mentioned, you know, a lot of other food items that one can actually, or, you know, benefit from. Not necessarily per se that one should actually stick to, you know, like cranberries per se. You know, some people, they might react, some people they might not react. But maybe it's because of maybe the fiber rich content that it actually contains, that is a blend of insoluble fibers and soluble fibers within, that can actually trigger, you know, the effects of diarrhea. But if you're experiencing diarrhea, then it might be possible for one to really, you know, eliminate it from the diet. However, with these other food items that I just mentioned earlier, the one can still benefit from. It's just an additional source, you know, that one can actually, you know, grab and, yeah.
Wow. I asked Dr. Tlailani a question during the week. I'm going to ask you again that question.
Yeah.
But I want to ask him that this up in terms of eating. So we know that a woman with bacterial vaginosis would have a fishy smell, okay? And the discharge would be the colors that Dr. Tlailani mentioned. I wanted to ask if brown is one of those, but I think you spoke about gray and white. But
no, it's usually thin, white, gray, or greenish sometimes.
So if it's brown, it's another kind of an infection.
Yeah, that's right. If it's brown, maybe it's something which is caused by a bacteria which erodes the mucosa to an extent, like it bleeds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then as you bleed, the blood will clot and then it will ferment into a brownish discharge.
Okay, yeah. All right. So Ntatesape, when it comes to the smell, you find a woman now is done with they are healed from BV and all is well, but because they are perimenopausal, or I've heard of something called a perimenopausal smell, I've heard of menstrual smell, where a person smells in a particular way. I try to explain the smell to Dr. Zaylan, which I can't, because they'll strangle me if I try to explain it now. But it's like that of a man who's working, let's say, underground, very sweaty, and it smells on the perineum. It doesn't smell in the vulva, neither in the vagina, but it will be in the perineum between where the anus meets the vagina.
No.
And the person is very hygienic, clean, cleansing and all, but the smell would be there. What advice would you... Okay, I don't know if the smell is mentally there or the smell is there, but you find... I've heard many women talking about that who are perimenopausal and those who are going through menopause as well. So what advice would you say to these who are about their eating? What should they change or what should they add?
Okay, all right. I was thinking, there's no direct correlation between the food and the vaginal smell. Yeah?
Okay.
Let me start there first.
Wait, pause there.
No, any certain food that you will
pause say, there.
After eating it, then it means that I will start to smell fishy, or
yes, even if you can pause,
eat fish
pause.
On its own.
I have a question right there, because you're saying there's no connection. I've heard of women eating the amasi, and they say they smell amasi down there. All right, but then you can respond.
Look, I think that is only in their minds, truly speaking. But then maybe because of amasi is more of a fermented product, because of the probiotics. Remember, I talked about probiotics earlier.
Yes, yes.
The main thing that one needs to do and start to understand today is there must be a good balance in that bacteria in the vagina. So if there is no a balance there, then we'll have a problem. But then, including foods that are high in probiotics, like, for instance, I mentioned earlier that including yogurt on daily basis, milk products, more of cheese, can actually put a very good benefit on that. But there's no specific food item that will say, because of you ate a lot of fish today, then you're going to smell more fishy. Or you ate a lot of oranges, then you're going to start smelling more vitamin C. Remember, digestive process, all these food items that we eat, they undergo a digestive process where everything will be digested, then they will be absorbed, and there will be key micronutrients that will be absorbed in the body to play a very, you know, important role in different virus factors in our bodies. But there is no way that you can actually smell more like citrus because you are eating a lot of citrus foods.
Okay.
So maybe the most important thing, the basic line there, is to understand that we need to have that good pH balance in the vagina, and to make sure that we have proper hygiene, and we also become well hydrated, because sometimes when we don't drink lots of water, also can be a problem, because you will find that our urine is more concentrated, and you can understand that the more concentrated the urine, it will have a different types of smell, eh? As compared to when somebody's well hydrated, you know. So we need to
even the make sweat,
sure that,
ne?
Also well hydrated, yeah.
Even the sweat, ne? The sweat can come up with
even the sweat. So if you're drinking water, you know, water is the basic of waste products, taking waste products out of our body and helping our kidneys to function properly.
All right.
So it is very important for one to strive to make sure that they've got their balance, you know, 2 liters of water per day, 6 to 8 glasses, like they say, recommended. Unless if you're an athlete, you'll go above 2 liters of water just to keep, rehydrated.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, after eating, immediately what they will do is they will eat and then they will go and drink what you call drinks or juice compared to taking water.
Okay.
You know? So that has a very negative effect in the way you are going to pass urine and being hydrated. Drinking cold drink or juice doesn't mean that you are taking in water.
Okay.
So we must also try by all means to have that time to say, now it's time for me to drink water.
Mm.
And I think that is the best thing one can actually invest in.
All right. Dr. Lelani, you wanted to pounce on that smell issue.
No. The thing is, something just crossed my mind.
Yes.
You know, there are so many people who like cooking with garlic. And we know that garlic gets excreted in the sweat.
Yeah.
And if you eat a lot of garlic, not only will the armpits also have that odor.
It's just like acha.
Yeah, that's right. Even the genitalia will have the very same odor. And then the advantage is that I remember when I grew up in Mamelodi. And I went to Natal, you know, and I used to eat a lot of acha. You know, Mamelodi and sweet like that.
Yes.
And then it's got the garlic.
Yeah.
I was the only one who wasn't being bitten by mosquitoes when everybody was being bitten by mosquitoes.
You were immune.
Yeah. The only one that is because of the smell on my skin, you see that? So the mosquitoes wouldn't come to
they
me.
Repelled.
They repelled. Yeah. It's true.
You were repellent.
Yeah, that's right. So I think cooking with garlic too can predispose you to this because it gets treated in the
okay, a family member, I saw you calling in. Try calling in again. I wanted to allow Tate Vusi to just finish what he was saying. So you can call in. 012-334-322 is the number you can call in and gesels met ons. You can ask your questions, you can remain anonymous. It's fine. You can remain anonymous. 082-657-2729 is the WhatsApp number. 37871 is the SMS number. Do you remember the SMS number will cost you 150? So yeah, you can call again. So according to you, Dr. Tlelan, there's no menopause smell, no perimenopausal smell as well.
No. There
okay, just hold it there. But okay. Lani, we're coming back to you. Hi, family. How are you?
Hi, my queen, Sister Bongile Petronella.
Babubila Gazi, ungthole kahle.
How are you?
I'm blessed of the Lord.
You?
And how are you?
Mr. Vilagazi, sir. How are you, sir?
Hello, sir. I'm fine. How are you, Dr. T?
I'm good.
And my greeting to Dr. Vusi Sape.
Yes, Ninjan Baba Vilagas.
Hi, Captain, I'm a brother.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Bona, thank you so much.
Thank you, Baba. Now the topic is bacterial vaginosis.
Yeah.
I never heard so dali jazz. Yeah. I'm very blue department. And as parents, we finally see to help our grandchildren because. But now they are listening to other radio station, which is playing songs after song, but with no information and guidance to help them.
Mm.
Today, as men, sometimes about Baba, I'm calling. We cannot tell. I'm asking to our towers. What are they? What? I'm not using my logo. I'm not
departing. Ish.
We are born with Google.
Yeah.
Which is not right.
Mm.
My question is to Doctor Vusi Sape about proteins. How much protein should not be taken to Kasape, and why?
All righty then. Okay. Thank you. Is that all, Babu Vilagazi?
Yes, right. Thanks to God. I'm listening and taking notes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Virgazi.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
Thank you.
So I love what he says first, that men should also be tuned in, not only for the grandchildren, nor neither for their children, but also for their wives as well, their sisters as well. So, yeah, we called all of them. Yeah. So thank you that you're one of the men who's tuned in. So, Proteins, how important should we take them? Should we or should we not?
Yes. Thank you for the beautiful question, Osmungile and Baba Filagazi. Proteins are very, very important in our body. They play a very pivotal role in making sure that we are bodybuilding our body. They can play a very important role in fighting off infections as well. So we've got different types of proteins that we can find from animal source, and we can also find proteins from plant sources. So sometimes proteins that we find in animal sources, they are also normally associated with things like your cholesterol and saturated fats. We've got, of course, the healthy ones. Most specifically recommended will be your white meat as compared to your red meat, chicken, fish, pork. If you are not allergic to that, you can actually include more of that into your diet, and eggs as well, as compared to red meat, because of high purines intakes in terms of red meat, that can also lead to your gout and stuff. Man, so I will say recommendably, you might want to include more of your white proteins as compared to your red, red meat and stuff.
Wow.
However, sometimes it's very important also to include the plant-based proteins like your legumes, beans,
of
beans as well, because they are also very important in terms of also increasing your iron
levels
in our bodies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then also they're also high in fiber, which can also help in terms of people who are constipated and people who've got high cholesterol. They can able to go for your plant-based proteins. However, also in a normal person that does not have any problems, we normally will recommend a portion of a size of your palm to be included on your plate without the fingers, just only palm size.
Okay.
That is recommended in terms of one serving. Okay. However, there's some other people that want to build up their body in terms of bodybuilding. So there we normally go that prescription to recalculate and say maybe somebody needs a high protein diet to build up, or maybe some people they've got pains or they've got wounds who might want to increase the double portioning of that protein. And then maybe, where is it restricted? Proteins are only restricted in people who've got problems like your kidney, or sometimes they've got liver problems, then we might want to reduce a certain amount, but that differs and it becomes specific to an individual.
Okay.
However, yeah, so they are very, very important to you.
All right. I think he should also come to talk about weight loss. I've heard of people now eating, focusing only on proteins. High protein diet. So, and doing away with carbohydrates and all the other food substances and just eating protein.
Yeah, the problem with weight loss, Asmongil, is that a lot of people are doing it in the wrong way, you know. We'll come in at some point to talk about it. That'll be very interesting topic.
Yeah,
I would be very, very happy to come and talk about that, especially now in January.
Yeah, even those who would like to lose their belly fat as well.
Yes. Very interesting topic. Okay. I think we need to bring that to the community. Yeah,
Let's do this and then come back to talk to you somewhere. I think we don't have much time after this, but let's do this. We're coming back.
It's More Than Radio. It's a way of life. It's 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Uthandwa ngendlela ongasokuze uyiqonde. Khetha iRadio Pulpit 657 AM. Luthando olo.
It is just for you, with you up until 11 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, we say hello to Germany, Yanni Belsa on Perspective. And afterwards, Lukom Kwediputi is already in the house, getting ready for Heart to Heart as well, from between 12 and 3. And afterwards, you have Germany, Johan Els on Something Else. Right now, with me, Sibongile Mofokeng, right here on Just For You, with you, on Hayes Basuk, with Dr. Tlailani. And we are with Ntate Busisape, a dietitian, and our gynecologist in the studio. But I am letting go of Ntate Sape now. I just want him to wrap up as the dietitian. So what is your advice? Somebody's asking about fermented foods. Should we be eating more of fermented food? Will this be of good help where BV is concerned? So as you're wrapping up, Ntate Sape?
Yes, there's nothing actually wrong with fermented food. Actually, especially with the topic of today, I think that would be more beneficial because of the probiotics effects they have. So it would be nice just to also include it. But remember, what is important is too much of a thing, not really so good, eh? So let's try to balance. Let's not over exceed. Even if something is told to say it's healthier, but it doesn't mean that we should take it like excessively so. Mm-hmm. So as long as we can balance our diets, making sure that we know our energy requirements, we know our macronutrients and micronutrients requirements, then it would be nice for one to, you know, have that balanced diet. So it's very important that when you're following a diet, make sure that you strive for a balanced diet. Include your carbs in, include your proteins, include your fruits and vegetables, and include your dairy products, and yeah, just the minimum of fat, you know.
Right.
So that can help, you know, just to have that balanced diet. So a balanced diet, it can prevent a lot of diseases, of course.
So I know that if you'd like to talk to you, you are at Butsilo, is it Butsilo Hospital? Butsilo Hospital?
Yes,
and the numbers?
Is 012-798-7091. So that's our office number, 012-798-7091.
All right.
So
thank
that's
you.
Where you can actually get it at Buchilo Private Hospital.
Buchilo. Thank you.
Yes.
Have a blessed one, Ntate Sape. You are definitely coming back for the diet issues.
Definitely.
Yeah, the
slimming. I love that.
Yeah,
I love
mukhaba.
That. Definitely. Yeah, in a good way. In a healthy way.
Yeah.
In a healthy way, so that you don't get frustrated, you know. Because sometimes when you follow a diet, sometimes it can really be challenging, you know. So you really need that support structure. You need to know exactly what you're doing, that you're in the right track. And so you need to stop focusing on what we call fictitious diets. But we'll talk about that.
All
I'm
right.
quite excited to
okay.
come back and talk about that. Yeah.
Thank
you,
you
so much.
Have a great
for the
one.
Also.
Okay, bravo.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tlailani,
sure.
as well.
Bye,
okay.
Thank you. I'll be seeing you on Friday. I've got a list on Friday morning, so I'll pass by your office.
All right. Thank you so much, Doc. I really appreciate it. Have a good day. Stay
thank
you,
thank
sir.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. All right. Bye. Okay, bye.
So, Dr. Tlailani, the prevention and the treatment, can we prevent this?
Yeah, it's very easy. Avoiding dolce. That's number one thing.
Yeah.
You know? And using gentle soaps. Don't use a
can we go without soaps, though?
No, you can. You can still. But, you know, we are so much used to this nice soapy, I mean, smelly soaps. And then wiping from
front to the back.
Yeah,
even with boys, ne?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, even when you have little boys and you're washing them, you have to wash them front to back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in the case of sexually active ladies or gentlemen, you know, using condoms during the sex and help to reduce the BV.
The risk.
Yeah, the risk of that. And then avoiding smoking, you know, if you quit smoking, that can help you. You know, there are many women who are smoking nowadays, but you never see them. But those are the preventative measures that we can adopt. Now, when it comes to treatment, you have shared that video with me concerning treatment of BV, but that's a very long way to go. You know?
Yeah, I was exhausted just watching it. I'm like, where do you begin?
It takes about a month or so. And then we know that 84% of women at one or other time,
they will experience it.
And then now you can imagine having to every time go through the very same process. But now we've got antibiotics. Now, because this bacterial vagina, they are caused by anaerobes, meaning the bacteria which don't need oxygen.
Yeah.
Like the gonococcal, the chlamydia, the trichomoniasis, all those, they don't need oxygen. So they need an antibiotic like metronidazole.
Okay.
Or you can do it systematically, or you can put it vaginally. And then metronidazole, or there is another one called clindamycin, which can be applied directly into the vagina.
Yeah.
And that should sort it out. So those are the main treatment modalities that we have now, metronidazole orally or metronidazole, you know, locally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we should also be mindful of the complications if this is not treated.
You know,
because there is an increased incidence of STD, you know, STIs. If you don't treat it, we can, you know, these bacteria can cause a sexually transmitted illness when we are going to infect your partner.
Okay.
And when it comes to pregnancy complications, during pregnancy can increase the risk of preterm labor or a low birth weight or other complications like, miscarriages. So we have to treat these things as soon as we pick it up. And then pelvic inflammatory diseases, it's also very common with this, where there's going to be infiltration of the bacteria on the tubes and even onto the ovaries, and then it will cause infertility.
Mm.
So, when a woman comes with low abdominal pain, does a discharge gauge or something like that, with some tenderness, and when you do an ultrasound, you just find a homogeneous picture. You know, that's a person who will be suffering from infertility at a later stage. So
sure.
It's very important that we should treat it before it goes to complicate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all right. Your closing statements for today?
Yeah, my closing statements basically is just prevention is better than cure.
Uh-huh.
If we can, let's not doubt. Let us not...
Because then it causes imbalances, ne?
Yeah, it causes that imbalance.
Yeah, and some soaps are very harsh for that area.
Yeah, and then you must always be practicing good hygiene.
I know I don't have much time. Should we be getting these feminine soaps?
No, I don't think so.
If we can, stay away from those.
Not necessarily that, but they don't add any... They don't make any difference.
Yeah, I've heard of others who are still using the soaps, but they are still experiencing a lot of yeast infection.
Mm.
Lots of some are still experiencing BV, but they are using that, and doesn't make sense to them.
Yeah, I don't think it's just a waste of money. Let's put it that way. Those are just commercially, you know.
Water, warm water.
Warm water. Finish.
Okay.
And cloud.
Dr. Tlelane, thank you so much. So we can call you between 6 and.
And 9.
9 in the evening, or just send you a WhatsApp. You'll respond when you
respond,
get time.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you so much for being there all the time, making sure that we are healthy. And there's no way that we can impact the world if we are not.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank God for Luna, because you help us stay fit and healthy. And we can now do what God has called us to do. May God awesomely bless you and keep keeping you.
Thank you very much, Shabongi.
So do remember the WhatsApp number here, Dr. Tlelane, 078-738-2694. 078-738-2694. I'm signing out, and we say hello to Germany, Yanni Felsa, leaving you with the sounds of Kerry Job, Only Your Love. Bye-bye.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.